Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Good morning and welcome to our radio program today. A topic of our discussion this morning is called Heaven, Why I Want to Go There. I think it's a topic that's near and dear to most of our hearts, and I'd like to start off by reading what Jesus said about it in John 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven and why I want to go there. The writer Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 6 through 7, "Remember your Creator before the silver cord is broken, loosed, and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the well." Of course, talking about our lives and us dying. "Then the dust will turn to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." Life's very fragile. All we have to do is turn on the news, our radio, our TV, our iPads, and we can see where there are accidents and disease and crimes and disasters and wars and terrorist events and all of those kinds of things. Hardly any family is untouched by those kinds of things, unfortunately. And God says that our dust returns to the earth and our spirit returns to God who gave it. So it is a subject that is dear to most people. In Hebrews 13 and verse 14, the Hebrew writer says that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, when he's talking about the great last day, when the Lord comes back, he said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." We read in other places where that great day, there's going to be loud trumpets, and there'll be a great shout. Jesus will bring back the dead saints with him, according to 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and we'll rise up to meet him, the faithful, in the air, and so shall we ever be. Now, the question is, where do we go from here? It's quite clear. Once we die, we're going somewhere. And the Bible talks about one of two places. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The righteous will go to heaven," and Jesus describes that as the narrow way, and there's only a few, relatively speaking. "The majority," he describes as the broad way, and he says that that's many will go in thereat. That's quite opposite of what we hear today, but that's what Jesus himself said. So, we want to make sure to the best of our ability that we try to do the right things and live a good Christian life and so that we can go to heaven when we die. Now, there are some things we need to know about heaven, or we do know about heaven. Heaven is a real place. Where is it located? Have you ever seen it on any maps? In Genesis chapter 11, verses 4 through 8, we remember that story about the Tower of Babel, where there was a crew of people that at that time only one language was on the earth, and they were going to build a tower to heaven. God says, I'm not going to let that happen. I'll go down and confuse their languages, and then we'll put a stop to that project. And of course, he did. The astronauts go way out into outer space, but they haven't made it to heaven. So they really can't help us as far as where heaven is. But Jesus did say it's a real place, and he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Now, he used an interesting word there, mansions, in John 14 and verse 2. And W.E. Vine, who everyone recognizes as probably the greatest scholar on Greek New Testament words, defines in the original that the word mansion meant a staying, an abiding. It denotes an abode. We would call it home. Jesus said, if I might paraphrase, I'm going to make reservations for you at my home. What a great thought that is, that he's making reservations for us. He's making mansions for us, and someday we can go and live with him and his Father and the Spirit forever. So heaven's a real place. Heaven is also up. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, Paul indicates that he was caught up into the third heaven. Most scholars say that the first heaven is described as where the birds fly. The second heaven is the atmosphere. And the third heaven is where God dwells. And Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. And when you read 2 Corinthians 12, he indicates that he saw great and marvelous things, things that cannot be uttered on the earth. They were too great and marvelous. It even got the point where God gave him a thorn in the flesh that he might not think too highly of himself and to keep him humble. So heaven is up. Psalms 14 and verse 2 says, and the Lord looked down from heaven. Other places we read where the earth is said to be God's footstool. So God is up in heaven. In Acts 1 and verse 11, the angel asked the disciples, remember they were looking at Jesus ascend back into heaven after his resurrection, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 16 and 17 says, and the Lord will descend from heaven with a great shout, with trumpets and all those kinds of things, and we will be caught up together in the air with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with him. Heaven cannot be seen through the eye of a telescope, but it can be seen through the eye of faith. So heaven's a real place. Heaven is up. There are going to be real people in heaven. Some we know they're definitely going to be there. Jesus, obviously, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, where he was taken up in a cloud into heaven, obviously he's going to be there sitting at his Father's right hand. Elijah, in 2 Kings 2 and verse 11, Elijah was taken up in a fiery chariot into heaven. Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 verse 24, only a couple of verses about Enoch, but it said that he pleased God and God took him. In Matthew 17 and verse 3, remember the Mount of Transfiguration story there where Jesus was transfigured, where we get our word metamorphosis. He was transfigured from his earthly body into a beautiful, shining body, and Peter, James, and John were there, and Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus. Moses, of course, representing the old law. Elijah representing the prophets, and of course, Jesus representing himself and his new kingdom and the New Testament that he would later implement upon his death on the cross. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, we can read about the first recorded Christian martyr with Stephen, where Stephen, right before he was stoned to death, he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, John describes, says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. all the faithful will be in heaven. So heaven is a real place, it has real people, and it's up. Now, let's look at some reasons why we want to go to heaven. In Revelation 22 and verse 5 says, "And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." The word eternal or eternity, our mind can't think on it very long. It just shuts down because our context is time. So eternity is a hard concept for us. But I heard it said like this one time, eternity. It's an example of a bird that carries one grain of sand from all the earth's beaches, flies it all the way to the moon, and deposits that one grain of sand on the moon and returns to the earth. When she has emptied all the world's beaches, eternity just got started. That's a heavy concept. We think of a 100-year-old person as very, very old, and that's true in our on this earth. But a 100-year-old person is but a grain of sand on eternity's seashore. We celebrate 100-year-old people. You see them in the newspaper and on the radio and the TV, and rightfully so. That's a long, long time. Most of us never make it that long. But it's just a piece of sand on the seashore, relatively speaking. So heaven is eternal, and that's a comforting thing. Heaven is a place of righteousness. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, John says, "But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Consider all the murder, the rape, the lying, the stealing, the embezzlement, people's lack of concern for one another, it seems we see so much. There's not going to be any of that in heaven. Not going to be any. And that's comforting. Those kind of people aren't going to make it there. Heaven's a beautiful place. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10, I'd like to read that. It's 10 or 11 verses, a little bit lengthy, but I think it's well worth our time to read. Revelation 21 and verse 10. "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west." Now verse 14 says, "Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, its breadth, and its height are equal." Now we don't speak in furlongs, but we speak in miles. But 12,000 furlongs equates to 1,400 miles. So here's what he's saying, at least for our minds to be able to understand it somewhat. He said, "The length of heaven is 1,400 miles long by 1,400 miles wide by 1,400 miles high." It's a perfect cube. It's a perfect place. "Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, a cubit's 18 inches, to give you some idea, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of city was like pure gold, like transparent glass." What a picture. One night, a father and his little daughter were standing in the backyard in their You know how the summer nights are here in Phoenix? It's just beautiful, and you can see the stars forever, seemingly. The little girl was looking up at the stars, and her dad noticed that she was focusing fairly intently on that. And she said, he said, "You know, what are you thinking?" And she said, "Daddy, if the top side of heaven is as beautiful as the bottom side, I want to go there, don't you?" Out of the mouth of babes. Heaven's a happy place. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." The landscape there will not have cemeteries. The landscape, there will be no hospitals. There will be no billboards. There will be no trash on the highways. There will be no funerals. There will be no more painful goodbyes. There will be no widows without husbands. There will be no children without fathers and mothers. Those things are in the past. How God does that, that's up to Him. But He says that He'll wipe every tear from our eyes, and there'll be no more pain, for those things have gone away. And I believe that. Heaven will be a place of rest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 8 through 11, you can read that. Even Jesus Himself said in John 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work." Heaven is a fine place to retire. There's no more job transfers or painful goodbyes. Your 401ks are not going to become 201ks when the stock market crashes. Our home will be a mansion. It's not going to be a shack, as we read in John 14:2. All the benefits will be paid. There's no inflation. We'll be on permanent vacation. It'll be a time of rest. This life is a time of work. It's a time to be out doing and doing good and doing the best that we can do. But there's a day coming when the faithful will be able to go to heaven, and there'll be no more work, only rest. Heaven will be a place of pleasant associations. There'll be no more grumps, no more complainers. We all know people like that, and there won't be anybody there like that. Jesus will be there. We'll be able to talk with Him. Paul, the faithful apostle, will be there. We can ask Him about His missionary journeys and all of the hardships and the trials that He went through. Noah, we can ask Him about the eyewitness account of the great flood. We can renew family ties of loved ones from this life who have died and who we still miss. But more than all of those things, God Himself will be there. Jesus, His Son, will be there, and the Holy Spirit will be there, and we'll be able to bask in their glory and the light and praise them for eternity. What a great thought. Great association. Now, this reason to want to go to heaven is a negative reason, but it's a motivator nonetheless. Why do I want to go to heaven? Because I do not want to go to hell. Billy Joel sang a song in the 80s where he said that he would rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Sinners are a lot more fun. And on this earth, some of that may be true. But there's a time coming when that's not going to be true. And that song is not going to be applicable then. In Mark 9 and verse 48, Mark describes where hell is a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. There's no relief. There's no breaks. You're not going to get a seat by the door. Once hell is open, you get a breath of fresh air. You're not going to be accumulating paid time off. There's no vacations. There's no relief. In this case, misery does not love company. It's too miserable. In Luke 16, remember the rich man, where the rich man was in Hades awaiting judgment, and he was in torment. And he asked Abraham, if you could just dip the tip of your finger into some water and have put one drop on my tongue, for I'm in torment in this place. And he said, I have five brothers back on the earth. Could you send somebody back and tell them not to come here? So misery does not love company in hell. Hell is a place of darkness. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, Peter describes the fallen angels from long ago are going to be chained in darkness. Jude in verse 13 describes Hell as the blackness of darkness, for emphasis, two adjectives. He said, I've heard it described as, it'd be like trying to find a black cat at midnight in a dark basement. That it's black, it's dark. In Matthew 25 and verse 30, it says that we are cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be crying and we're going to be grinding our teeth because there's going to be so much pain there. Now, a lot of people, in fact, most unfortunately, and a lot of governments go through their lives wanting God out of their lives. Sometimes it's hard to mention the word or the name God in schools or in our prayers at graduation ceremonies. There's a movement to take the word God off of our money. Most people want God out of their lives. Well, one day, unfortunately, God's going to grant that wish. But it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Hell is a place of fire. And Matthew 13 and verse 42 describes hell as an everlasting furnace. Mark says in Mark 9, verse 44, the fire that is not quenched. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, described as fire and brimstone. In Revelation 20, it's called a lake of fire. Now, here's the question that you might be asking yourself. It's a literal fire. Why are we not consumed? Well, Moses saw a burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. And those race car fans, the Indianapolis 500, there are pit crews, sometimes we'll see on TV, that catch on fire, but you can't see the flame because it's a chemical fire. So even man can make a fire that you cannot see that will burn you. So it's certainly God can as well. Hell's a place of pain. Matthew 25 and verse 30 said there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The rich man says, I am tormented in this flame in Luke 16. Now, he didn't want his brothers to come there because it was too terrible a place. But once we go, wherever we go, to heaven or to hell, there's no changing places. We have this life to prepare. And after death comes the judgment. That's just what the Bible says, contrary to what some people think. Revelation 14 and verse 11 says, there will be no rest from pain day or night. In conclusion, God's left us a way. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, Jesus says that he is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, while Jesus extends his mercy and his grace, and it's nothing we can earn, there's no question about that as far as earning salvation, God has always demanded that people obey him and obey his word. We still haven't earned salvation, but he expects us to work. And he expects us to obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9 and other places. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. No one's going to go to heaven by accident. We have to do what he says. God means what he says, and he says what he means. Hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. What do you have to do to go to hell? Well, not much. Just going about your business, living for this world, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, as the New Testament describes it, and you know where your eternity is going to be spent. Both will last forever. There's no changing places. We have this life to prepare, because after death comes the judgment. We would invite you to visit us at 2202 North 40th Street. We're at the corner of 40th Street and Monta Vista. We're located between McDowell and Thomas Roads. We'll meet Sunday morning. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study. We'll take a short break, and then we'll meet again at 10:30 a.m. for our worship services, where we sing and pray, and we take of the Lord's Supper, and we hear a lesson from God's Word. At Sunday night at 6 p.m., we meet for our evening service. And then Wednesday evening, we have a midweek Bible study that starts at 7 o'clock p.m. You'll never be embarrassed there. We look forward to seeing you there. Bring your Bible, because that's our only guide in this life. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.